Deuteronomy chapter 8.
If you haven't read that book, there's a lot of good stuff in here, and we're going to cross-reference with the New Testament on most of this stuff this morning. The Bible tells us, and this is when the children of Israel were preparing to go into the promised land, and God is giving them a warning. And he's telling them this, verse 11, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget," say forget with me, "and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which you were fiery serpents, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for he it is he who gives you power to get wealth." Say that with me. The Lord gives me power to be prosperous and get wealth. "That he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is in this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify this to you this day that you shall perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God." How many of you look at your property? Look at your bank accounts. Hopefully you have some savings. Look at everything that's around you that you say you own, and we heard that word this morning, own, and are pretty self-sufficient, thinking, look what I've done. And you forget that it's God who gives you the ability and gave your parents the ability, if you've inherited things, to get things. And there comes a time we have to start being thankful to God. And that's what he's telling them. You're going to get in this land. Now keep in mind, they went in and they took over what was already there. They didn't build anything, basically. They didn't do a lot of work except chase out the enemy. God gave them everything they have. And it is God who gives you the ability, the mindset, the knowledge, the ingenuity to be creative, to do things, to make money. And then he expects you to shine for him. Amen? Now, I realize that right now there's an economic crisis hitting America. I realize right now there are things that are diminishing in some sense. But if I told you before and remind you again, God's economy is not in trouble. And God has a plan for you to be financially successful. How many want to hear it? Come on, Curtis, get that hand up there. God has a plan for you to be financially successful. And we talked about last week that we'd be the head and not the tail, that we would borrow, that we would lend and not borrow. And sometimes we look at that and say, oh yeah, you don't know the debt I got now. Most of us have a lot of debt if we're burdened down with that because we charge too much. And those plastic cards are very nice, and I used to really love them, but every month they thought I'd have to pay back. I can't believe they give me a card and said, go use it, then they want me to give them money. But God, even with our debt, say debt with me.
Debt.
Say God
is bigger
than my debt.
Than my debt.
And God is big enough to get me out of debt. That's not our message today, but I want you to hear it because I got some principles I'm going to tell you in just a moment. Go with me to 2 Corinthians, New Testament, not Chronicles, Corinthians, chapter 9. 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. You don't have to raise your hand to this. But if you're living in so much fear of the economy that you're not tithing, you're shooting yourself in the foot. I love the way you're shouting. If you have backed up into the mainstream that I'm going to hoard everything I have and I'm going to bank everything I have and I'm not going to give to the Lord for His purpose of reaching people for Jesus and establishing His kingdom, you're on the wrong trail. I'm going to show you this. Then I'm going to give you some things I felt the Lord gave me this morning. Chapter 9, verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 6. Let me just ask you a question. How many of you planted seed this spring? How many put just one or two seeds per acre? Huh? That'd be what?
That would be dumb.
What would you get?
Maybe one or two seeds.
Okay. But you planted abundantly. You sowed abundantly. Now here's what the Bible is saying. I want you to think about that. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. For let each one give as he purposes in his own heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. How many of you are laughing today when you put your offering in? Okay. Keep in mind, we don't tip God. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every work, as is written, he dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you being enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. We receive from God financially in this economic crisis the same way we give. It's just a spiritual principle. I can't cut it short. You say, well, my income has dropped. Keep giving. But my debt has raised. Keep giving. You say, not because God needs the money, but that we need to give so he multiplies what we have. He gives according to the seed we're sowing. I realize in Browns Valley that things are shutting down some places. I understand that. God is bigger than Browns Valley Synergy. God is bigger than the things that we look at. Your place of work is not your source. God, say this with me, God is my provision. You on Social Security checks, the government's not your source. God is. Are we okay? I'm not yelling at you to give. I'm saying I need to give. Okay. I have a friend, Mark Moberg from Bemidji, that says I'm not participating in this recession. And he was just with us on a Friday morning, and his business is going like crazy. Better than ever. You hear, Kirk? That's what he said, didn't he? Something like that?
Said it was in the tank.
Yeah. Economy's in the tank. Everything's going down. He's not participating. Point number one, you don't have to participate emotionally in this economic crisis. Raise your hand with me. You say, God, you're my source. I'm not participating in any economic crisis. Fact is, I'm going to make more because you are in it than I did in good economic times. How many believe that? Give the Lord a hand if you believe that. If you can believe that, give the Lord a hand. You don't have to go to bed full of fear and full of worry and full of anxiety. We trust. Amen? Okay, number two. Don't devise your own economic defeat. You say, what are you talking about? Don't lay awake at night planning how you're going to fail. You know how we do that? By adding up the bills over and over and over and over. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
As you add them up, you realize there's no money. I'm going to fail. It's going to crash. I'm going to be on welfare. I'm going to be out in the street. Don't do that. Listen, that's not from God. This is just one third of the message, but I want you to understand what I'm telling you now. I want you to come into this and walk it out. As we did, how many stood up last week and got blessed by God when we were reading Deuteronomy 28? That's that part, Kirk, they forgot what it was. I'm blessed. I'm a child of God. If I have something to be afraid of, take it to the King. He's not laying up there or looking up there or looking down from there and saying, oh, this whole thing's going to crash. Nothing I can do. Come on. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, number three. This had to be God. I'm not sharp enough to think this one up. Ray will like this one. Don't listen to people who may be mentally sharp but spiritually dull. Don't listen to people who got all the numbers put together mentally, but they have no relationship with God to put His numbers together. Don't listen to the geniuses who say, it's just not going to work. Listen to God who says, when I'm in it, it always works. They may be mentally sharp, but they're spiritually dull. Pay attention to God. The last one, live the word of God. Do as God says. He's faithful and trustworthy. Walk it out with God. If there's an issue, get before God and say, God, how are you going to fix this for me? What do I need to do? Maybe God's trying to get your attention. And we're just going through the same thing and we're doing the same thing over and over again. And we're living that way and we're believing, well, this worked in 1960 or 1970 or 1980. And I did it this way. Maybe God's saying, I want to show you a new way. But walk it out. We okay? Number two. God declares that you're special. God declares that you're special. Okay, say this with me. Break any false humility and chase any demons out. I am special to God because He says so. You may look at yourself and say, man, ay. That's not how God looks at you. How am I going to accomplish something for God if I don't realize the fact that He declares that I'm His special possession? I've been purchased by Him. And He sings over us, the Bible says. Deuteronomy 26, verse 16. Deuteronomy 26. Mark these verses down in your Bible. Sometimes you're just going to have to go back and look at them. Deuteronomy 26, verse 16. This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his judgments, and his commands, and you will obey his voice. Now listen. Also today, say today, the Lord has proclaimed you to be his special people. His special people. Just as he promised you that you should keep all his commandments, and that he will send you, set you high above all nations which he has made in praise and name and honor, that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken. I'm not just blowing smoke this morning. You need to step into a place not of a egomaniac, but you need to step into a place where you say, yeah, that's me. That's me. God has looked at me and said, I'm special. You say, well, that's Old Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. If you have the King James or the New King James, the King James will say you're peculiar, but that means special or chosen. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness to this marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, had not obtained mercy, but now obtained mercy. You say, Pastor, why are you going over that again? I'm going to tell you something. You need to have confidence when you come to God. You need to know that you are accepted and that you are loved. And every once in a while, you need to go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and read about the fact he's chosen you, he's ordained you, he's predestined you, he's called you, he's accepted you, he's forgiven you. Most people never come to a place where they understand that God not only loves them, but he wants to help them. He wants you to step into him. So whatever you're facing, you will not be defeated. He doesn't want you destroyed. Gage, give it to Grandpa. I'm waiting. Thank you. Now I can play catch with it. We need to understand that as he looks down at us, he understands that we are weak and we're frail in ourselves. But his touch on our lives, he strengthens us, he encourages us, he leads us, he directs us, he guides us. He's not looking at what you were, listen to me. He's looking at what you're going to be. He sees you as an overcomer. Even though right now things may be piling up and you're struggling and you're fighting, he doesn't see you as a failure. He sees you as a victor. He doesn't see you that you are falling apart. He sees what you're going to be. Look at Gideon. Gideon was hiding behind a wine press when the angel came to him. And he looked at Gideon and said, You mighty man of valor. We know he was a buck, 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 buck. We know he was a chicken. He was hiding. But God, the angel of the Lord, looked at him and said, you mighty man of valor. David was a shepherd, but he faced giant. And we'll never step into our destiny, which is the next point. We'll never step into our destiny until we realize that we are special to God. And that God absolutely, radically wants the best in your life. Think about it. Step into it. Point number three. I don't have a poem, but I'm going to give you 3 points today. You determine your own destiny. You determine your own destiny. And sometimes we don't like that because it's so easy to blame someone else for the way I am, or blame someone else because I didn't get this, or blame somebody else because this is happening in my life. With God and in this world, you determine. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Go back there with me. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. Please get this. Please don't miss this. Don't walk out of here saying, I am the way I am because. Walk out of here saying, I'm going to be a child of God, and I'm going to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I'm going to face the giants that are trying to kill me. I'm going to face the enemy who hates me. I'm going to face my critics. I'm going to face the enemies who have made themselves enemies of me. And I'm going to be an overcomer. God already sees you as an overcomer. Can you see yourself as an overcomer? God already sees you as a victor. Do you see yourself as a victor? Get rid of the victim mentality. Get rid of it. It's not from God. God never looked at His children and said, you're just a bunch of victims. He says, you're more than conquerors. You're overcomers. But you determine your destiny. You say, well, what do you mean? You're going to choose whether you're going to serve God or the enemy. There's only two ways you can go. You're going to determine that. And here's what the Bible says. Here's what God told the children of Israel. Verse 14. But the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Look at me for a moment. Good commercial here. We're trying to help you, if you're not already in the word, to get in the word so the word is in your heart and in your mouth. And your spirit is welling up when things come against you, and you know that God's taken care of that because you have the word of God in you. There used to be a song that sang, the word is working mightily in me. That's what I want to be. I want the word of God to work mightily in me. Look at me. Your destiny is based on how much of God you know and how well you know Him and how much of the world you know and how good you're living for the world. You can crowd God out of your life. You can be so filled with worry and despair and frustration and anger and unforgiveness that you drive Him out. Welcome Him in. Get the Word of God in there. Grow in it. Live it. Walk it out. Here we go. See, verse 15. I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. That's your choices. Every one of your friends who aren't Christians, everyone you hang out with, people you work with, that's why they don't want to hear about your God if they're not wanting to hear about Him, is because they're choosing death and evil. God says, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. Now hear this. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, to give them. I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. The word cursing means that you're fenced in. It means that you have no hope. The word blessing has a connotation of bowing before the Lord that he's going to bless you, that he's going to reward you. It means that you're happy. It means that you have peace. It means that you're living a life not governed by the cares of the world. And so God said, I'm going to set this before you. But you know, like the children of Israel, he could not determine their choice. He did not determine their choice. And with us, it seems as we look at this, that in this world, we're a bunch of weirdos. It seems like we've lost our marbles, that the cheese is falling off our crackers. It seems like everything is building up against the believer. But that's not true, because everything is not determined on people's choices. Everything's determined on God. And so you make a choice this morning as you walk out of here. You make a choice tomorrow morning when you get up. Am I going to choose God's blessing, or am I going to step into the curses? Am I going to choose life, or am I going to choose death? Am I going to choose good, or if I'm going to choose evil? It's in your hands. You may think, well, I can never make a decision. I don't have the right to make a decision. Today you have to. How deep you want to go? We okay? Want to go a little deeper? You cannot and you must not let somebody else make that decision for you by following them away from God. There are people who are going to tell you, don't get so involved, don't get too radical, everybody's going to heaven. I've heard that. It's not about church. It's not about God. It's just being good. It's just doing this. I heard this week that, well, he took communion, so he's in heaven. Huh? Come on. If that is true, God is a liar. And so we let other people and other things and other circumstances influence the choice of our destiny, and we make to follow people. We make to follow the system. We make it to follow the world. We make it to follow our friends. And so we live our life carelessly because we want to please our family, our friends, or whoever it might be, more than we want to please God. We compromise to have our family love us and like us and people enjoy us. Forget it. If they go to hell and you go to heaven, or if you even go to hell, they're going to hate you the rest of their existence, which is forever, because you never lived the life and you never walked it out and you never told them the truth. They may not want to talk to you now. They may hate you now, but that'll be nothing compared to if both of you go to hell. And so we compromise our values, we compromise the spirit, we compromise all this stuff. And then we're wondering, why don't my family go to church? Why don't my family follow God? Why don't my friends listen to me? They're not listening to us because they don't see it in us. Come on, I'm sorry. But it's time you make your mind up who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve your family or are you going to serve God? Are you going to serve your friends or are you going to serve God? Are you going to walk around this world halfway on each side and let both sides shoot at you? Sorry, but it's time we look at it. I love my family. I do most anything for my family, but I'm never going to compromise my relationship with God so my family likes me. It's not going to happen. Love the way you're shouting. But listen, you heard truth. How many know you heard truth? We heard truth. I want to live my life so my family sees Christ and realize it's not a game. So in other words, if we want to take this one step further, you not only determine your destiny, but you may determine other people's destiny who are watching you. So it's time, friends, we come to Joshua's statement. Choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, I'm going to do what?
Serve the Lord.
I'm going to serve the Lord.